Well, let me share some phrases with you. And when you hear these phrases, you ask the question, what do they sound like to you? The first phrase is this: according to your faith, be it unto you. Another phrase, Jesus makes several different statements that he makes. He says, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. The Bible also says that if you'll pray and believe, you will receive what it is you're asking for. On another occasion, Jesus said, when you pray, pray to the Father in my name, and anything you ask in my name will be given unto you. Now, what do those verses sound like? What do those phrases seem to be saying? Well, I don't know how you interpret them, but in my mind, at least, those verses sound like a guarantee. They sound like a done deal. It sounds as though if I've got faith, it will happen unto me. If I ask, if I have faith, I'll always get and I'll always find when I seek, and it'll always be open to me when I knock. They sound as though they are a done deal. They're absolutely guaranteed. If I believe, I shall receive. He says it. That's a promise. I can claim on it, claim it, and it will always come true. Now, there's a problem, though. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever had an occasion when you had the faith, but you didn't receive? Have you ever had the occasion when you asked and it wasn't given to you? You sought, but you didn't find. You knocked and the door was not open. You asked in the name of Jesus and it wasn't given to you. Have you ever had the occasion when you really thought you believed, but even though you believed, you did not receive? Well, what was wrong on that occasion? Did you fail in your faith or did your faith fail you? And you need to know that there are people who are sitting here this morning who believe that one of those two things would have to be true. That if you didn't get what you asked for, if you didn't receive, even though you believed, either you failed your faith in your faith or your faith failed you. Is that necessarily true? No, it is not necessarily true. There is another alternative. It may have nothing to do with you failing in the faith. It might have nothing to do with your faith failing you. It could have everything to do with the Father knowing best. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Take your Bible, if you will, and I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews. And I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 11, and in a moment we're going to begin with verse 32. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32. And this morning we're going to talk about your faith on those occasions when it seems to fail. Or we're going to talk about what happens when you pray and you don't receive and what that might be about. Now, if you've been with us, you know for a long time we've been involved in a study on the subject of faith. For nearly 3 months, we have been digging into this study. For nearly 3 months, we have been plowing through the Bible, looking at various dimensions of faith. We've entitled this series, From Faith Unto Faith. And remember, faith is the issue with God. Always has been, always will be. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The Bible says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. The just shall live by faith. We're to grow from faith unto faith. The Bible says, we're to walk by faith and live by faith and pray in faith. Scripture says we can't even be saved without faith. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, not works, lest any man should boast. So faith is the issue with God. So for 3 months now, we've been looking at the subject of faith from different directions. We talked about a saving faith and a living faith and a growing faith and a maturing faith, a winning faith. We talked about even parenting faith and deflating faith. And for the last 5 weeks, we talked about a thinking faith, a faith that uses its head. Now we come to put this study to a close. We've been in this series for 3 months. Now it's time to put an end to the series. But you need to know that before we stop talking about faith, there is one subject we've got to talk about. And that is the fact that sometimes when you pray and you've got faith, it doesn't always work out the way you think it's going to work out. I don't think we can end the study of faith without looking at this passage and without looking at this subject. Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, there have been many occasions when I believed. I had faith and I trusted that something would happen and it did not happen. I asked and I didn't get. I sought and I didn't find. I knocked and it was not open to me. I believed and I did not receive. And I doubt that I'm the only one in this room who would say that. In fact, I don't think there's any of you here who would say, Pastor, every time I've ever prayed, it's always worked out exactly the way I wanted to. There are always occasions when it doesn't work out that way. Maybe you had some event, for example, you were planning. You were had a wedding or a graduation, and you needed good weather. You prayed, God, please let it be good weather that day. Don't let it rain. And on that day, it did not rain. It poured. I mean, the heavens opened up, and it seemed to you as if God had turned the faucet on full force. And yet you had prayed and asked God not to let it rain. Maybe something else happened. Maybe you saw that special girl across the campus, And when you saw her, your heart did a flip and you said, man, she is the girl for me. I want to marry her. I want to date her and then marry her. And you pursued her with all your heart. You kept praying, God, let her be mine, let her be mine, let her be mine. And she goes off and marries some jerk. Or maybe I should say some other jerk. And you don't have that prayer answered. And yet you ask God for that. Or maybe something even more serious. Maybe your business was in trouble and it was about to go under. And you said, God, please don't let my business go under. I don't want to declare bankruptcy. And yet you prayed and prayed and prayed and that business folded. Maybe you had a marriage that was in trouble. And you said, God, please don't let my marriage fall apart. And you begged God to keep it together. And yet the marriage fell apart. Maybe you had a diagnosis from a doctor. And you said, God, please heal me of this disease. And God did not heal you of that disease. Maybe even something worse than that. A loved one was dying. And you begged God not to let them die. And you prayed and you prayed. You thought in your heart God was going to heal them and let them live. But God didn't heal them. And they didn't live. They died. The very first occasion in my life when I recall having that great disappointment in my faith was an occasion when someone very close to me was dying, and I begged God for hours on end, please don't let this person die. Please, God, don't let them die. But no matter how much I prayed and how much I begged and how much I believed God was going to spare their life, they died. He died anyway. What was wrong? Did I fail in my faith? Did my faith fail me? Or could there be something else involved here? Well, Hebrews chapter 11 shows you that there sometimes is something else involved. Sometimes it's not a matter of your faith, and it's not a matter of failing in your faith. It's a matter of God's will. And that's what this passage is all about. Now again, I don't think we can study faith without looking in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 32. Now you're very familiar with the passage. In fact, the whole chapter deals with faith. In the last 3 months, two or three times, we have delved into this chapter. We want to do it again. And you should be very familiar with this particular passage. On at least two other occasions, in a different context, for a different reason, we have studied this passage. But I want us to look at it. Now, before we get into it, I want to tell you, you're not going to like some of what it says. This is another one of those passages that I would prefer not to have in the Bible. And there are a number of them. This is another one of those passages that if I had my way, I'd just take out of the Bible because I don't like it very much, and you won't like it very much either when you see it. But it is a very important passage, and you'll never have a balanced view of faith without it. So let's dig in. Here's what I want to do. Quickly, let me show you two or three things about this passage of Scripture. First of all, in this chapter, or in this passage, the writer of Hebrews, and we don't know who that is, by the way, please keep in mind that no one knows who wrote Hebrews, though some believe Paul did. We have no record of who wrote it. But the writer of Hebrews begins by talking about what I call the upside of faith. Now, the first thing I want you to write in your notes simply is this, the upside of faith. Now, what is the upside of faith? Well, the upside of faith is simply the fact that God is pleased with faith. Faith pleases God, and God, in turn, blesses faith. As you read through the Bible, one of the things that becomes remarkably clear is that if you have faith, God does move mountains. If you do have faith, God will bless you in remarkable ways. They're powerful stories, stories after story, of God blessing people with faith. Let me show you. Take your Bible, look if you will, in verse 32. The writer says, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets." Don't lose your place, but stop. Do you know what he just said? In the 11th chapter, he'd been talking about wonderful heroes of the faith. And he comes to verse 32 and he says, what more could I tell you? There's so much more. So many other stories I could tell, but time would fail me. Do you know what that means? The writer of Hebrews here is like a preacher who's running out of time before he runs out of sermon. Hey, I've been there, done that. I am there, am that most of the time. He's coming to the end of the sermon time. He doesn't have any more time left. He's got a lot more to say. He said, what more I could tell you? There's so many wonderful stories of faith. Look again in verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Do you know what this means? He is describing here victory after victory after victory, blessing after blessing. He said, faith pleases God. God blesses faith. If you're a person of faith, God will move mountains. By the way, if you want to do an interesting study, Sometime, go back and take these rather obscure verses and take these lesser-known names like Barak and Jephthah and others and do a study of their faith. You probably aren't familiar with them. But powerful stories of how God blesses the faith. Now, don't miss what's happening here. He begins by talking of the upside of faith that God will bless. And there's so many stories like this. We could go back through the Bible, back through Hebrews 11. I think about some of the great stories of faith, like the story of Abraham. By the way, tonight I'm going to preach on Abraham's life and a time when he walked away from the faith. But Abraham was a great man of faith. I think about how God blessed that faith. Abraham was a man that God told to leave his homeland after 75 years. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, God spoke to Abram and said, get up from your place and go to a land that I will show you. Hebrews tells us that he didn't even know where he was going to go. And the scripture says that he got up and he left. That's powerful faith, wonderful faith. And God blessed him. You read the story of Abraham and God made him wealthy. God gave him fame. God gave him a tremendous reputation. One of my favorite parts of the story of Abraham is the fact that God blessed him with a son in his old age. Do you remember how old Abraham was when Isaac was born? He was 100 years old when he fathered a child. I like that. You like that? For those of us getting a little bit long in the tooth, that's really, really good news. He's 100 years old. I've often wondered what that was like when he came out of the maternity tent and Isaac had been born. It's a boy! It's a boy! But here's Abraham. He's 100 years old and God's blessing his faith. You think about others. I think about the faith of Joseph. Few people in the Bible had as tough a time as Joseph did. He was hated by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, lied about by Potiphar's wife, cast into prison. But he kept the faith, and in the end, out of the prison, he became a prime minister. You think about others. Think about David and his great faith. David was a powerful man of God, but remember when he was just a boy and the powerful faith he had when he went up against Goliath? In fact, it took faith for David just to show up that day. Do you know how big Goliath was? The Bible tells us he stood 10 feet tall. He weighed over 600 pounds. He was a huge dude. And David, at that time, was a little guy. He probably was about 13 years of age at the time. And he wasn't very well developed for his age. For the Bible says of David that he was of fair countenance. What a terrible thing to say about a guy. He was of fair countenance. Do you know what that means? He looked like a sissy. He really did. He was a skinny leg, quivery lip, fuzzy face, little boy. That's all he was. David could not have made a third string football team at the average junior high. He was just a runt of a guy. But he had faith. And he took a stone and he took a sling and he said, in the name of the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he let it fly. I've got a great sermon about David I'm going to preach one of these days. It's entitled, How to Be a Champ While Living Among Chumps. And he was a champ. God blessed his faith. Think about others whose faith was blessed. Moses and the Israelites when they crossed over the Red Sea. I think I've shared with you before the story of a little boy who comes home from Sunday school and his mom says, son, what did you study in Sunday school? Oh, he said, Mom, we studied about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. And his mom said, well, tell me, what did your teacher say? Oh, he said, my teacher told me how they came to the Red Sea and couldn't get across. And so Moses rented some pontoon boats and they took off across on the pontoon boats. And when they got on the other side, they looked back and they saw Pharaoh coming with his army and the amphibious vehicles that they have. And so Moses got on the microwave radio and called for some air support. And they dropped smart bombs on them and blew them out of the water. And then they all got in their all-terrain vehicles and drove to the promised land. And his mom looked at him and said, son, did your teacher really say all that? He said, well, no, but you'd never believe her story. Listen, that's unbelievable things happen when you have faith. And you can go right through the Bible. David and Abraham and Joseph and all the rest of them. In the New Testament, James and John. One of my favorite stories is the story of Peter. Do you remember the occasion when Peter is in prison and the next day he's going to die? He's going to be executed the next morning. Do you know what Peter did? Let me get the characters right. Do you know what Peter did knowing he was going to die the next morning, be executed the next morning? He took a nap. Go back and read it. Knowing that he was to be executed the next day, he took a nap. He went to sleep. Now I want to tell you, if I thought I was dying tomorrow, I wouldn't rest up for my death tonight, would you? Wouldn't you want to stay awake all night long, the last moments of consciousness? Peter, thinking that tomorrow he might die, took a nap. Why? He had great faith. He believed in God. And God turned the whole thing around. But don't miss the point of all of this. The passage talks about the upside of faith. The upside is, if you have faith, God will bless. And we don't need the Bible to tell us that. We can find out for ourselves. I could go around this auditorium with a microphone and ask you guys to tell your stories. Sitting in this room this morning are people who have been healed of diseases, some who've had marriages restored, families put back together, businesses put back together, and all because of faith. That's the good part. That's the upside of faith. Amen, hallelujah, praise God, sounds good. Now, I wish we could stop right here. You say, I wish you would too, but we can't. I really wish that we would come to this point in this passage and say, that's all there is, but it's not. Now I want you to see a second thing. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Now we've seen the upside of faith. That is the fact that God blesses faith. But now I want to show you what I call the flip side of faith. And what is the flip side? The flip side is that God blesses faith, but sometimes it's not the way you think. Let me show you. Look, if you will, Hebrews 11, and go back to verse 32 to get a running start. And I want to show you an odd statement. In verse 32 it says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." In other words, victory after victory, blessing after blessing. Verse 35, watch this. "And women received their dead raised to life again." Now, you can't find a greater blessing than that. Your dead loved ones raised to life again. Verse 35, "Women received their dead raised to life again, but others were tortured." Uh-oh. Better read that one more time. "But others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And still others had a trial of mocking and scourging and of chains and imprisonment. And they were stoned, and they were sawn in two. And they were tempted and were slain with a sword, and they wandered about in sheepskin, goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth." Stop. Now, you understand what just happened? There was the upside. Now here comes the flip side. It says, there were others, however, who didn't have this blessing. And who were the others? They were other people of faith. Look again in verse 39. "And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, but did not receive the promise." Do you see that? That doesn't take much of a Bible scholar to figure out what he just said. He said, there are great blessings. There's the upside of faith. Believe and you receive. God is pleased with faith, and faith pleases God. God blesses faith. But there is this other side. Sometimes you have faith and you go through terrible circumstances. Sometimes you have faith and God takes you out of the trouble. Sometimes in your faith, God doesn't take you out of the trouble. Let me put it in very simple terms. You can be a person of great faith and a tornado can blow your house right off a foundation. You can be a person of great faith and a doctor discover a malignancy that doesn't get cured. You can be a person of great faith and you can have a business problem and actually go bankrupt even though you have faith. You can be a person of great faith and your marriage fail. You can be a person of faith and your husband die. You can be a person of faith and your wife could leave. You can be a person of faith and your child could rebel. You can be a person of faith and you can lose everything you own in a fire. And it doesn't make any difference how much faith you have. There is a problem. It is a theological problem. In our community in particular, there are a lot of people with a wrong theology. It is a theology that says, if you have faith, every problem will be overcome. Every question will be answered. Every barrier removed. Every obstacle you'll get over. Every disease is going to be cured. Every issue is going to be settled. If you only have faith, all of these things will happen. But that ain't so. That just isn't so. There are occasions, even biblically speaking, when it just doesn't work out that way. I wonder sometimes if these people have ever read the Bible. Ever read the stories in the Bible. The people who suffered. Listen, in the Scripture, not only do people suffer in spite of their faith, they suffer because of their faith. There are many people in the Bible who had great faith, and because of that, they were martyred. For example, do you remember the story of Isaiah? I doubt that anybody here would think Isaiah was not a person of faith. Isaiah had the clearest vision of Christ in the Old Testament. Do you know how Isaiah died? Anybody here know how he died? If you'll look back up in verse 37 of Hebrews 11, notice it says, they were stoned and they were sawn in two. That in all probability is a reference to Isaiah. Tradition tells us that Isaiah died in this way. His enemies took him and stuffed him in a hollow log and sawed him in half. What was wrong? Didn't he have faith? He must not have been a man of God, right? You see, the reality is this. God blesses faith, but there are occasions when you can have all the faith in the world and you're still going to have some hard times in life. Have you ever read the book called Fox's Book of Martyrs? It is a powerful book. You really ought to read it. It's an ancient book. It's been around for hundreds of years. Recently updated to modern English and abridged because it was so big. It tells a story of martyr after martyr, person after person, who not only suffered in spite of faith, but suffered because of their faith. And one thing I want to say to you is that stuff's still happening. Do you know that more people have been martyred for their faith in the 20th century than all the previous centuries combined? So I don't believe that. Well, it's true. We don't see it. We don't understand it because we live in this very isolated island of security. All over the world today, there are people dying because they're Christians. People in prison, in Sudan. People are enslaved because they're Christians. It's happening all over the world. My point is this, there is a flip side to this thing called faith. The upside is God blesses it. The flip side is that it doesn't always get you out of problems. Sometimes it takes you through them instead. And if you don't learn this, if you don't understand it, what's going to happen is sooner or later, you're going to go through a problem and you're going to be wiped out. You're going to go through a difficulty. You're going to wonder if God is real or faith has failed, when in reality God is real, your faith didn't fail. But you still went through the suffering. This is what Hebrews 11 is talking about. The upside is that God blesses faith. The flip side is that sometimes God doesn't bless it the way we think He's going to. And you say, well, that's kind of pessimistic and down and dreary, and I didn't have to be here today anyway, Pastor. I could have gone off on Memorial Day weekend like everybody else. And here you are preaching something negative. Well, I'm not trying to be negative. But let me end it on an up note. I've shown you the upside and the flip side. Now one more thing I want you to see. And that's what I'm going to call the bright side of the flip side. Now don't get confused with this. We've looked at the upside, God blesses faith. The flip side, sometimes not the way we think He will. But if you'll go back to the story in Hebrews 11, there is a bright side to the flip side of faith. Now what is the bright side to the flip side of faith? It's simply the fact that if God chooses not to get you out of a problem and makes you go through a suffering, when you go through to the other side, it will have been worth it all along to have had that faith. Now, I can't say it as well as the Bible does, so let me just read it to you. Look again, if you will, verse 35. The Bible says, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Now watch. That they might obtain a better resurrection. Did you see that? He's now talking about the bright side of the flip side. Some didn't get out of the problems. They didn't receive the promise. They receive a better resurrection. What does that mean? It means God doesn't always do what you think He's going to do, but whatever God does is best. Whatever God does is best. It means there are times in your life when God isn't going to perform for you the way you think He should. I'm always reminded of the story of Lazarus. Do you remember this odd story? In the 11th chapter of John, the Bible talks about a man named Lazarus whom Jesus loved. And the Scripture says that Lazarus was dying. Jesus knew about it, didn't come to save him. And then he dies. And down in the 14th and 15th verses, there's a strange sequence of statements. Jesus speaks to his disciples and he talks about how he loves Lazarus and how Lazarus has died. And then he says, and I am glad. Now later on he weeps over the death of Lazarus. But at first he says, Lazarus is dead. I could have saved him. He's dead and I am glad. Why would he say, I am glad? Because Jesus understood that Lazarus had something better than a healing waiting for him. He had a resurrection. And that was a better thing. You see, there are times in life when God isn't going to do everything you think He's supposed to do. But God knows what He's doing. There are times in life when God isn't going to do everything that you think He ought to do, but God knows what He's doing. In fact, the Scripture teaches that if God did everything you wanted Him to do, you'd miss the blessing. There's so many people throughout history who had to go through the suffering because of it. God used them. You think of people like Fanny Crosby. Had she not been blind, she would never have written the hymns that she wrote. People like Johnny Erickson. Had she not been paralyzed, she would never have had the testimony that she had. People like Dave Dravecki. Had he not had the cancer, he would never have the testimony that he has today. Did you see Maria up here a few moments ago? What a horrible thing she had happen in her life. As a young girl, a teenager, she fell off this cliff and down a gully and broke her leg so severely. And her father, seeing her there, abandoned her, walked away and left her. Did you know that? She lived in abject poverty. What a horrible set of circumstances. Had that not happened, she would never have been here. Did you know when Maria came here 6 months ago, she could not read nor write one word? Now she's reading and writing. Now she talks about her faith. Well, if she'd had faith, right, she should never have gone through all of that. Had she not gone through all of that, she would not be the person she is today. That's the bright side of the flip side. You know what this is? This is what I call the principle of Father knows best. Either God knows what's best for you or He does not, one or the other. And the principle is that God is the perfect Abba. He knows what's best for you. And He doesn't always do what you think is best. Can I tell you what real faith is before I'm through? And I'm just about done. Real faith is not the ability to demand from God what you want and get it. Real faith is the ability to receive from God what He gives and accept it. Now, you may not like that definition, and you may disagree with it, but let me say it one more time. Real faith is not the ability to demand from God what you want and get it. It is, rather, the ability to receive from God what He gives and accept it. Are you impressed with people who can pray and make things happen, and God does exactly what they ask? I'm not nearly as impressed with that person who believes in God because God answers his prayer as I am with a person who prays and God doesn't do what he asks him to do, and yet he continues to believe in God. That's faith. Let me show you one last passage of Scripture and then we'll sit down. I'll sit down and let you go home. I want you to turn very quickly to the book of Matthew, the last thing I'm going to say. But look at Matthew chapter 11. I want to show you where the Bible says that that is the greater faith. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11 is a familiar story of John the Baptist. It is the story of John's imprisonment. To make a very long story short, John was a great man of God. He was put in prison. John believed strongly in Christ, had tremendous faith, but then in prison he began to doubt Christ. Now he's going through some tough times. Nobody suffered more having been put in prison than John did. He was a rugged outdoorsman. Prison was really bad for him. And so John comes to the point where he's doubting Christ and he sends his disciples to ask Jesus, are you really the Christ or should we look for someone else? Now watch what happens, verse 3. And they said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Verse 4, and then Jesus answered and said to them, watch, you go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Stop. Do you understand what he just said? John is doubting whether this faith is real, whether Christ is real. And so his disciples ask, are you really the Christ? Should we look for someone else? And Jesus said, look, you go give John this message. You go tell him that the blind see and the lame walk. What was he saying? That was Jesus' way of saying, go tell John, if I can make the blind to see and the lame to walk, I could surely get him out of prison if I wanted to. You go tell John that the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. That was his way of saying, if I can cleanse the leper and I can give hearing to the deaf, then I can take the chains off from John if I wanted to. He said, you go tell John that the dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And if I can raise the dead and preach the gospel to the poor, I could certainly get him out of that dungeon. In other words, go tell John what I could do if I would do. But now look, if you will, in verse 6. He ends this with a very disturbing statement. But blessed is he who is not offended because of me. What does that last statement mean? What he's saying is this. Go tell John, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. All the power of God is in me. Tell him I can do all of these things. But do you tell him? Blessed is the man who isn't offended if I don't do these things. That's what he meant. He was saying, tell John that his faith is well placed and I can do anything he needs me to do. But tell John as well that blessed is the man who won't be offended if I choose not to do these things. Does that make sense? That's the flip side of faith. That brings you to the question, why have faith at all? If it isn't going to get you out of trouble, why have faith at all? If it isn't always going to give you what you want, why have faith at all? Here's why. You've got a choice. You can live this life with all of its incumbent hurt, pain, trouble, trial, and difficulty with faith, or you can live this life with all of its hurt, pain, trouble, and difficulty without faith. Man, I'd rather live with someone to believe in and something to hold to than to have nothing to believe in and nothing to hold to. And that's faith. Let's pray together. Father, as we bring to a close this series of messages on faith, we've come to a troubling end, a troubling passage. Our theology wants to believe that if we'll just grit our teeth and make ourselves believe this, that everything we want will come true. And yet your word has made it clear that sometimes you have something else in mind. Father, forgive us on those occasions when we have looked at other people's trouble and wondered if they just didn't have faith, when in reality they may have greater faith than we have. Help us to be the kind of people who can say, we love you and trust you. We ask you to do these wonderful things in our life, but if you choose not to do them, we're still going to love you and trust you. You're still our God, and we're not going to give up on that. And Father, I'd much rather have you than not have you in my life. And even on those occasions when I am angry and disappointed because you didn't come through what I wanted you to come through, Father, forgive me for those occasions, but I'd rather go through those times than not have you at all. In this room this morning are people who for the first time need to profess their faith in Christ. They don't have anything to hold to. They've been through dark times. They will go through dark times. And there's been no light at the end of their tunnel, no anchor to hold them tight. I pray this morning that someone would give their life to Christ, come to hold on in faith. Others who are here have had you speak to their heart about other things. There's some who need to become members of this church because you've called them here, only if you've called them. And Father, we pray today you'd give them the courage to take the stand of faith they need to take. Thank you for your word. Disturbing as it might be, thank you for your word. And thank you, Father, that there is at the end of the tunnel a light worth moving toward. Thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.